Happy Monday, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Monday, February 24th, 2020. I'm reading to you from the studio located in Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. I'm Cindy. I'm glad you're listening, and we'll look at today's weather and headlines from the front page. Today, high of 38, not as they say about 20 degrees less than yesterday, low of 26. Mostly cloudy skies with a northeast wind 7 to 10 miles an hour. We have two news stories and one former story on the front page. Our first story is called Raising Readers. The second story is Starting the Journey. And the third is a reprint from Hometown Pride called Recalling a Wager and a Famous Fort Dodge Pig. All right. So before we get started, there is a picture of Fieldhaver Title I reading teacher Jen Cordell working with a small group of kindergartners on their reading skills. And Fieldhaver students have been making major growth in reading this year, it says. And then there's a picture of two Butler kindergartners, Micah Jordan and Zakira Windham. And they practice saying and writing the shh sound during a small group work session with Sean Russell. Fort Dodge schools use multifaceted approach to help elementary students improve reading skills. Fieldhaver Elementary students have been seeing tremendous growth in their reading scores this year, according to the Fort Dodge Community School District. The elementary school students in the district are assessed using what's called Formative Assessment System for Teachers, or FAST tests, to help monitor reading skills progress throughout the school year. What happens if they take this test three times a year, said Jen Cordell, Title I reading teacher at Fieldhaver. After taking the test, we can see if students are making what's considered flat growth, modest growth, and typical growth, or aggressive growth. After the first two FAST tests of the year, nearly all Fieldhaver students are making at least modest growth in their reading skills. For kindergartners, 79% are making typical or aggressive growth in reading. For first graders, that number is 70, second graders are at 67, third graders at 38, and fourth graders at 71, making typical or aggressive growth this year. The key to tracking students' progress are the data meetings the classroom teachers, Title I reading teachers, and support staff have been having every 6 weeks, Cordell said. Having everyone at the same table keeps everyone on the same page when discussing the individual needs of the students and how to best help taking them from striving readers to thriving readers. We can all sit down together and say, what can we do to help these students who aren't making the growth we'd like to see them make? Cordell said. Then we do some diagnostic testing where we really dig in and say what's preventing the student from making that growth. Are they struggling in the area of phonics, or are they just struggling to be a fluent reader? What's their challenge at this point? From there, the educators are able to adjust the reading interventions and lessons for the students to target their specific needs. For some of those students, their intervention might be meeting with Cordell and four or five other students who need help and focusing on mastering a certain vowel sound. I really feel like at Fieldhaver we are doing everything we need to do to meet the needs of every single reader, Cordell said. For the younger students, Cordell said the school's focus is on making sure they have a strong foundation in phonics in kindergarten through second grade. So when we get to third and fourth, we can build on what we call our automaticity, which is they're able to read at a faster rate. District-wide, our goal is to get them to read the way they talk, which means to be a fluent reader. Being able to read is just going to open so many doors for them. Over at Butler Elementary, the kindergarten classes are also seeing significant growth in reading thanks to the implementation of a new foundation skills curriculum. Mrs. Banwert, our principal, last year really wanted us to look at a phonemic awareness of phonics program, said Sean Russell of Butler. Since the fall, the school's kindergartners have seen 87 to 91% improvement in reading skills. I like to tell my parents, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Phonemic awareness is something you can do in the closet. phonics is something you need the lights on for writing. Russell said phonemic awareness is everything you hear. You don't have to write anything, see anything. It's hearing it. It's the foundation of reading, said Brenda McDowell, Butler Title I reading teacher. Before they can read, they need to know all of that. Through this curriculum, the teachers are able to help students with the educational games and practice books called decodables. We're always looking at these research-based pieces that we need to give kids what they need, Russell said. We can play all those education games and fun learning. It's not just sitting there with a paper and pencil and a worksheet. And just like at Fieldhaver, as well as other buildings in the district, the teachers and support staff are there, identifying what each student struggles with and what they need to improve their reading skills. We figure out what they're lacking and get them grouped together by what they're lacking, so that group can focus on whatever skill it is they need, McDowell said. Russell said she and other teachers appreciate district leadership, like Superintendent Dr. Jesse Ulrich and Dr. Steph Anderson, the District Director of Elementary Education, listening to them when they talk about what their students need and what curriculum and tools are most successful with their students. They give us that flexibility. McDowell said, we are with the kids day in and day out. We have them. We know them. We're taking our notes on what they've got and what they need. Cordell said the biggest assets to helping the district students be successful are the people that are involved. It takes a village, she said, and I think at Fieldhaver we really, really are working together to meet the needs of every single one of our students so every single one of them can eventually become a thriving reader. All right. Next is From Reading to Clothing. Starting the journey, Humboldt's, Heiskel. Now, if it was like my maiden name, it'd be Heiskel, H-E-I-S-K-E-L. Humboldt's Heiskel creates clothing brands. And if it's Heiskel, I stand corrected. The focus for many high school students during their senior years figuring out what exactly is next. Applying for colleges, filling out job applications, or any number of other adult plans are the norm. For Humboldt's Grayson Heiskel, he is a pretty good idea for his future. Heiskel rang in the new year with the launch of the 99, a line of athletic clothing that he hopes to turn into even more down the road. I've always loved being around people, making new friends, helping and encouraging everyone, Heiskel said. The ultimate dream is to open a gym, gathering place, dive shop, where people, let me tell you about the picture before I turn the page. There is a picture of Grayson and Sabrine Ulrich modeling the 99 clothing line created by Heiskel while working out inside the Humboldt Recreation Center. Heiskel and Humboldt Navy created the brand of athletic clothing and eventually hopes to own his own gym. So let me quote him again. The ultimate dream is to open a gym/gathering place/dive shop where people can hang out, work out, eat, drink, and just enjoy each other. The brand, the 99, came first. I thought a good way to get the word out, maybe create a little interest, would be able to create a brand of athletic clothing to promote the end game, which will be the gym. Heiskel has a number of items ready for purchasing, including hoodies, shirts, hats, joggers, and leggings. The effort has become a collective one, with family members and friends offering their services. My entire family has been involved in everything from the beginning. Heiskel said, my mom, Chantel, is a professional photographer and has taken all the pictures for the website, along with helping build the website and creating the graphics. My dad, Kevin, helped create the logo, and along with my brother, Taylor, have been a part of every decision. I also get lots of support and feedback from my Texas family, my friends at the Humboldt Rec Center, and of course my girlfriend Abby, and modeling help from Sabrin Ulrich. The name for his brand, which he hopes to put on gym someday, came about while listening to the radio. I listen to all kinds of music genres, one being contemporary Christian, he said. I heard a song on the radio about the 99. I knew the scripture, but I wanted to dig a little more, so I looked it up and came across all these different biblical meanings. Biblical and secular, it all struck a chord with me. I try to live with compassion, integrity, excellence, and joy, and the meaning of the 99 encompasses all of that and more. Everyone seems to really love the logo and what it stands for so far, so that's good. With the framework for the idea in place, Heeskel went to work on the details. Many of those have been quick finds, but others have left him doing plenty of research and trial and error. We created the logo, pulled together a website, created a Facebook page, and started posting teasers to create interest. After finding styles I loved, I personally started wearing the clothes at the gym and while out running around. I think finding clothes I'm proud to put my logo on has been the toughest. Eventually, we plan to have everything custom made, but starting out, we're testing styles and fit materials. It's been very time-consuming because I'm kind of picky. Heeskel, who is homeschooled, has experience working in customer service through his mother's photography business and the Humboldt Rec Center. He is also a certified rescue diver and has been since 12 years old. He's also volunteered at various activities from working with all kinds of animals to help instruct scuba diving to teaching pickleball. I love spending my time with all kinds of people of all ages. I love encouraging them to work out and stay active, he said. The ultimate goal is to create a meeting place for people where they can work out, eat, play pickleball, learn to dive, and just hang out. Some place fun with a welcoming, friendly atmosphere. Community is a big deal to me, and that's what I hope to promote always in my life with this brand and in this business. For more information on the 99, visit welcome-to-the99.com. Okay. I might have to visit that website. Okay, now the repeat article from Hometown Pride. It was first, it doesn't say, it just was earlier this year, I think. Recalling a wager in a famous Fort Dodge pig. The project featuring Floyd of Rosedale combines history, athletics, and public art. And there's a little miniature sculpture of this Floyd of Rosedale pig on display during a groundbreaking ceremony on April 2019. So a new project will combine history, athletics, public art to preserve the legacy of Floyd of Rosedale. The famous pig, given as a prize in 1935 in an attempt to defuse racial tensions around a big football game, will be the subject of a new sculpture to be installed at the roundabout at 10th Avenue North and 32nd Street. The idea behind the pig or Floyd in the roundabout is to retain that legacy. And, pardon me while I turn the page, and the many and the story behind it, said Fort Dodge Councilman Dave Flattery, who is on the Floyd of Rosedale Planning Committee. This is arguably the most popular traveling trophy between Division I college football teams, Iowa and Minnesota. I don't think the generations behind me know the story, and you want to retain that legacy, he said. When you retain the legacy and that story, it builds pride in community. There are a lot of sub-stories within the story of Floyd, Flattery said. Not everyone realizes that the pig was first wagered after a game with racial overtones. All-American running back Ozzie Simmons, who played for the University of Iowa, was one of the few black players at the time and had been knocked out three times during a previous game against the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. There's a racial element to it, and there were tensions between both universities that were settled with a wager, Flattery said, and Floyd of Rosedale, the pig, was the wager. The story shows the other celebrity connections to Fort Dodge. Ronald Reagan broadcast that game for WHO radio, and he is quoted somewhere saying that Ozzie Simmons was one of the best running backs he'd ever seen, Flattery said. That pig, which the governor of Iowa sent to the governor of Minnesota, grew up on the Rosedale Farms just east of today's Rosedale Rapids, next to the roundabout, which will hold the sculpture. We need to retain this legacy, this wonderful story, and what better way than to have public art, and what better location than the roundabout on 32nd Street, which is within a quarter mile of the original Rosedale Farm, Flattery said. The Rosedale farms that provided the pig also once supplied all the milk and dairy products to the creamery in downtown Fort Dodge. It was a popular place, said Flattery. Even when I was young, I remember the creamery and I remember the farm. One of the first steps in starting the project was coordinating with both the University of Iowa and the University of Minnesota, he said. The committee said it's looking for unique but sophisticated designs that contribute to the character of the community, using the artist's creative interpretation. Any material can be used, although methods using metals such as bronze, steel, or recycled metal will be preferred. The sculpture should be between 10 and 20 feet in length, the committee wrote. Qualified artists should have successfully managed and completed at least one public-funded commissioned project with a budget of $75,000 or more. The proposal must also take into account how the sculpture will withstand Iowa's elements. Competitiveness of the budget will be considered. We'll get a better handle on costs after we see the proposals, Flattery said. About $120,000 to $250,000 is the estimate. Flattery isn't sure if there are any local artists who will submit proposals. Those with an art background on the committee include Jennifer Dutcher and Eric Anderson, director of the Blandon Memorial, knew a lot of the potential people at the universities. We probably send it out to a dozen potential candidates throughout the Midwest and the United States, Flattery said. Eventually, the roundabout may be renamed Rosedale Roundabout. And the Rosedale committee still hopes to build a barn-shaped structure near the area. He said it's a goal they've had for many years. The original thought was to rebuild a replica barn and use it as a year-round shelter. And someday we might do that out at the park. But to give it more visibility and less costly, we hope we would be to build the pig in the middle of the roundabout. There's already information on the trailhead near Rosedale Rapids about the Floyd story. The barn could make more space and more information in the future. This story will flow from the roundabout to the park. Hopefully, over time, we can talk about Ronald Reagan and Lily DeMita. Right now, our goal is just to get the pig set up. Lily DeMita was the French-American actress and singer who was at first married to Errol Flynn. After divorcing him, she married Al Loomis, who owned Rosedale Farm, and she is buried in Fort Dodge Oakland Cemetery. Installation of the sculpture is scheduled for fall this year. The committee includes Flattery, Dutcher, Anderson, Hope Tier, Janice Valentine, Kelly Halstead, Jim Kirsten, Shelley Bottorf, Councilman Terry Menke, and Kevin Twait. So we'll have to keep our eyes open this next fall for that. Especially since I live right by there. Okay. How about this calendar date from years past? First of all, there's a picture from February 2005 with winners of the Saratoma What Freedom Means to Me essays. And they celebrated their accomplishments at the public library. So pictured are Marissa Wilson from Phillips, Ridwan Alam from Prairie Middle School, Prairie Valley, Claire Davis from Prairie Valley Middle School. And not pictured are Audra Marvin from St. Paul's Lutheran School, fourth place, Andrew Bianchi from St. Edmunds Middle School was fifth. The poll this week was, do you support raising the state sales tax by a penny to help pay for water quality and mental health? You can answer at www.messengernews.net and check it out this Sunday. All right. Today, Monday, February 24th, the 55th day of 2020, there are 311 days left in the year. So, back in 1989, a state funeral was held in Japan for Emperor Hirohito, who died the month before at age 87. 10 years ago, testifying before Congress, Toyota CEO Akio Toyoda, with a D, apologized personally and repeatedly to the United States and millions of American Toyota owners for safety lapses that had led to deaths and widespread recalls. 5 years ago, President Barack Obama, defying a Republican-led Congress, rejected a bill to approve construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. 1 year ago, the segregation-era road trip drama Green Book was crowned the Best Picture at the 91st Academy Awards. Top acting honors went to Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody and Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Today's thought for today comes from François Rabelais, who's a French writer and physician in the 16th century. You can tell I haven't taken French. It is my feeling that time, and that's capitalized, isn't that something? It is my feeling that time ripens all things. With time, all things are revealed. Time is the father of truth. I think there might be something to that. All right. Our community calendar. Fort Dodge Rotary Club will meet today at the Willow Ridge Golf Course and Restaurant at 11:45. Al-Anon Non-Smoking Club will meet at noon in Fort Dodge at the First United Methodist Church. AA Alano Club will meet at noon and 7 in Fort Dodge at 12 North 7th. All Addictions Anonymous in Webster City, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. tonight at the Trinity Lutheran Church. Humboldt Dakota City Noon Kiwanis is meeting at 6 p.m. at Vinny's Barbecue in Dakota City, so make that note. Bingo tonight at the Opera House in the Frontier Village, 6:30 p.m. The doors open at 5. Fort Dodge Duplicate Bridge takes place at 6:30 tonight at Citizens Central. The Badger Lions Club will meet tonight at 7 p.m. at the Badger Community Center, and the public is welcome. For more information, you may contact Roger Curtis at 545-4487. Fort Dodge's Choral Society practice, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., Grace Lutheran Church in Fort Dodge. And there is an AA open meeting tonight in Manson at 7:30 at the St. Thomas Catholic Church. An NA meeting for young people tonight at 8 p.m. in the Humboldt County Courthouse in Dakota City. Today's editorial. Help select Iowa's Conservation Farmer of the Year. Nomination letters are now being accepted all across the Hawkeye State. Iowa's farm families have long understood the importance of state-of-the-art conservation practices. Our state's farmers pay close attention to the preservation of soil and water quality. They understand that the protection and enhancement of these crucial resources is absolutely vital to the future of agriculture in the Hawkeye State. Each year, the Iowa Department of Agriculture, Land and Stewardship, and the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation sponsor a statewide effort to identify a farmer who is making conservation efforts that are especially worthy of note. The award recognizes an individual who has gone above and beyond in their conservation efforts and the excellent practices common in rural Iowa. The person selected is honored with the Iowa Conservation Farmer of the Year Award. Farm families take great pride in caring for their land so they can pass it down to their children and grandchildren. That's why farmers all over the state are embracing conservation practices to improve soil health and water quality, said Iowa Secretary of Ag Mike Nagg. I encourage all Iowans to nominate deserving conservation leaders in their communities for this distinguished award. Anyone wishing to nominate a candidate for this prestigious award is being invited to submit a short letter, 100 words or less, to the Soil and Water Conservation Office in their locale. Nominations are due by May 18th. Each SWCD office will then choose one candidate to forward to the regional level. There will be 9 regional winners who will be in contention for the state level. The grand prize winner will be announced at the Iowa State Fair. According to information provided by IDALS, the statewide winner will have free use of a John Deere 6E series utility tractor for 1 year. The Van Wall Group of Perry and John Deere are providing the use of the tractor. That's a nice benefit, but having important conservation efforts recognized and publicized so they can be emulated is the real reward for the winner. More information about the award and the selection process can be obtained at the local SWCD offices. The SWCD directory is available at the IDALS website. This competition helps educate Iowans about the importance of conservation and publicizes especially significant successes by innovative farmers. The Messenger urges readers to consider nominating worthy candidates for this important award. Okay. Let me turn to some education briefs and then we'll come back. We'll probably have to split those up. And how about what seniors are saying? Today they interviewed Amanda Richmond at St. Edmund High School. And the first question, what programs and activities are you in? And her answer, golf, volleyball, choir, National Honor Society, and Respect for Life. Two, what academic accomplishment are you most proud of? And she said being chosen for National Honor Society. Three, what's your best piece of advice for younger students? Get involved. It makes high school a lot of fun and you'll be glad you did. Four, what's your go-to song or artist? And her reply is Thomas Rhett. Five, what's your favorite class or subject and why? My favorite class is religion because we can talk about anything and we always have lots of good discussions. Six, what's your favorite movie? Sweet Home Alabama. Seven, if you could have dinner with someone famous, who would it be? Loren and Thomas Rhett and their family. Eight, what are you working hardest on right now? And that would be filling out scholarships and preparing for college. Nine, who is your role model? My role models are my parents because they've always supported me in everything I do, taught me how to overcome anything, and showed me how to live my faith. 10. What is your favorite memory from your time at St. Edmund Catholic Schools? And her answer, the road trips to all of the golf meets and spending time with my teammates. Okay, there's a few briefs here. Fort Dodge Community Schools athletic physicals are set. Athletic physicals for current 7-12 grade students will be held from 5:15 to 6:15 March 5th. At the Fort Dodge Senior High Gym, the cost is $15, and all Dodger 7-12 Dodger student-athletes are encouraged to attend. A sports physical needs to be current and on file in the nurse's office prior to the first day of practice of the athlete's sports season. Seniors out for spring-summer sports must have a physical that stays current through the end of their season. Fort Dodge students can have their pre-workup, height, weight, heart rate, and blood pressure done with the athletic trainer and school nurse during lunch or before or after school, March 2nd through 5th. FDMS 7th and 8th graders will not have a pre-workup. Everything will be completed on the night of physicals. All athletes will receive a physical form. The form is also available on the website, fdschools.org, under athletics near the bottom of the page. The front of the form must be completed and signed by a parent and brought with the athlete on March 5th for the physical to be completed. Payment by cash or check is required at that time. Parents or guardians who need additional information or have questions may contact Breanne Drees at B-D-R-E-E-S at fd-schools.org or 574-5825. We have several students that were recently named to the chancellor's list at St. Luke's College, Unity Point Health in Sioux City for the 2019 semester, and they are Don Grawl of Fort Dodge, Megan Fitzgerald of Fort Dodge, J.D. Lara, Fort Dodge, Ashley Mundy, Fort Dodge, Nicole Scully, Burnside, Rebecca Sunken of Fort Dodge. All right. Well, let me remind you that you are listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, and you can hear us daily on the Messenger at 8 and 3 p.m. So let's turn to today's obituaries. Our first obituary is Bonnie Dooley, 78, of Fort Dodge, died Thursday, February 20th, at the Paula J. Baber House. Funeral services will be at 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, February 26th, at the historic Bruce Funeral Home, 923 First Avenue South, with Major Rick Hamiland of the Salvation Army Church officiating. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service. Interment will take place in North Lawn Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to the family. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.brucesfuneralhome.com. Bonnie was born on April 13, 1941, in Fort Dodge, the daughter of Glenn and Helen Blaha Albee. She attended school at home. In 1967, she was united in marriage to Donald Don Dooley in Fort Dodge. She attended class and worked at Iowa Central Industries for many years until her retirement. Bonnie enjoyed church and was a longtime member of the Salvation Army Church. She also enjoyed community outings, movies, dining out, adult day at Friendship Haven, where she participated in many events. She was a social butterfly with a strong faith. Bonnie is survived by her daughter, Dawn Fedenhauer, and husband Dennis of Fort Dodge, four grandchildren, Chelsea Pietzko and her husband, Anthony of Eagle Grove, Cameron Klum and fiancée Kiana of Fort Dodge, Zachary Klum of Fort Dodge, and Brooklyn Klum of Fort Dodge, one great-granddaughter, Hazel Pietzko, I hope I'm saying that right, of Eagle Grove, nieces and nephews, Donnie Albee, Judy McGee, Brenda Hill, Alan Albee, and Shelley Hoover, many cousins and two special friends, Carol Carpenter and Travis Lease. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband in 1997, a brother, Don Albee, and a dear friend and roommate, June Steward. Next, Mary Jo Kroonquist. Mary Jo Kroonquist, 83, of Johnston, passed away Thursday, February 20th, 2020, at Brio Senior Living of Johnston. A massive Christian burial will be held at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, at Our Lady of Good Counsel in Moreland. Burial will follow in Our Lady of Good Counsel Cemetery, Moreland. A visitation will be 4 to 7 Monday, that's tonight, at Laufensweiler Seavers Funeral Home, with a vigil starting at 7. Mary is survived by her children, Jolene Jenkins of Newton, Kathy's spouse Tony Perenza of Urbandale, Dave, spouse Laura Kroonquist of Omaha, Julie, spouse Todd Nelson of Iowa City, and Dan Kroonquist of Callender. 16 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren, and brother Paul Kehoe of Callender. She was preceded in death by her parents Leo and Gladys Gehring Kehoe, husband Oscar in 2015, and son-in-law John Jenkins. Mary Jo Kehoe was born November 13, 1936, in Lake City. She was raised and educated in Callender, graduated from Callender High School. She then attended Tobin Business College. On June 25, 1955, she was united in marriage to Oscar Kroonquist in Moreland. The couple established their home on a farm near Callender for more than 40 years. In 2001, Mary Jo and her husband moved to Twin Lakes. She enjoyed living and spending time at Twin Lakes, golfing and bowling, her dog Sammy, and most of all, her grandchildren. Memorials may be left to family discretion. Next, Betty Lou Linder, 86, of Fort Dodge, passed away Saturday, February 22nd, at Trinity Regional Medical Center in Fort Dodge. A visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, at Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Services will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February 26th, at Gunderson's. Burial will take place at North Lawn Cemetery in Fort Dodge. Betty Lou Lindner, the daughter of Edward Lohr and Nina Jordison, was born on October 6, 1933, in Fort Dodge. She graduated Fort Dodge Senior High in 1952. Betty Lohr was united in marriage to Paul Lindner on July 25, 1953, in Blue Earth, Minnesota. Paul Lindner passed away July 16, 1993. Betty worked for many years at Union Trust and Savings Loan. savings and loan. She then worked for Fort Dodge School Food Service for several years after that. In 2004, Betty retired from Walmart, where she had worked for 25 years. In her spare time, Betty enjoyed sewing and jigsaw puzzles. She also loved spending time, quality time, with family and friends. Betty is survived by her sons Doug, spouse Carol, and David, spouse Danette Linder. Her five grandchildren, Kelsey, Jenna, Logan, Cody, and Alex. Her siblings, Claudia, spouse George Davis, and Sharon, spouse Harold Blasky, and her caregiver, Sharon Servine. Betty was preceded in death by her parents, Edward and Nina, her husband, Paul, her brother, Brian. Memorials may be directed to the discretion of the family. Next, James Myers, Pocahontas. James M. Myers, age 83 of Pocahontas, passed away on Saturday, February 22nd at the Pocahontas Hospital. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, February 26th at our Resurrection of Our Lord Catholic Church in Pocahontas with Father Craig Collison officiating. Burial will be 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, February 26, 2020, at the Indian Mound Cemetery in Dakota City. Visitation is from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, February 25th, at the Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas, and there will be a prayer service at 7 p.m. Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas is handling arrangements. For online condolences and obituaries, visit www.powersfh.net. Next, Carolyn Gardner, 82 of Humboldt, passed away on Saturday, February 22nd at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. She is survived by her son Gary and her grandchildren. Visitation will be 4 to 7 on Tuesday, February 25th at the Mason Linhart Funeral Home in Humboldt. Services will be Thursday, February 27th in Diagonal, Iowa. You may visit www.masonlinhart.com for more information. Frances Morenz, Lake City, died Sunday at age 83 on February, died on Sunday, February 23rd at 83 at Stewart Memorial Community Hospital in Lake City. Funeral services will be held 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, February 26th. At Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Lake City with Pastor Paul Federer officiating with burial in Lake City Cemetery. Visitation will be on Tuesday from 5 to 7 at Lamp Funeral Home in Lake City. And then the Laufenswilers do have that announcement about Mary Kroonquist, whose visitation is today, 4 to 7 p.m. with the funeral tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Our Lady of Good Counsel in Moreland. All right. Back to briefs. We have three more education articles to read to you. First one about Special Olympics. 39 Dodger athletes competed in the Special Olympics area basketball event at Butler on February 14th. 26 of the athletes earned first place and will move on to state March 13th, 14th in Iowa City. Students finishing in first place included Lily Walters, Marlene Sassman, Carmen Holmes, Emerson Newsom Preston, Mason Doty, Landon Stanley, James Williams, Carter Peterson, Courtney Joe Hardman, Mackenzie Derrig, Sydney Derrig, Madison Hansen, Jaden Stanley, Quinton Derrig, Seth Gardner, Alfredo Sandoval, Lakota Aiken, Jonathan Zagrang, Peyton Wuberking, Brookshire, Damian Hanrahan, Chancellor Shivers, Tyler Peterson, Ivan Rubio, Nolan Sinlinger, Quentin Barube, and Caleb Hammersland. And I apologize if I have mispronounced. Students finishing in second included Jasmine Hardman, Ty Stevens, Jacob Straw, Tatum Lind, Shiloh Halberg, Caleb Sitterly, and Tanner Hammersland. Students finishing in third, Dylan Lincoln, Christopher Holmes, Heath Newbern, and Steve Summers. Additional participants for the Dodgers were Dalton Coppinger, fourth place, and Ben Tooney. Our students did a tremendous job, said Liz Rusher, Fort Dodge Community Schools Special Olympics coordinator. I love that our athletes love the Special Olympics, have fun competing, and achieve success. It was a truly wonderful day for all involved, and those who qualified for state can look forward to another exciting experience. We have our students in the arts named for the month. The following kindergarten through 12th grade students have been chosen by their instructor during the winter term for excelling in the performing and visual arts and recognized by the Students in the Arts Foundation. So let's start with elementary art and music at St. Edmund's. Art, Addison Elvenhall, Violet Gasho, Kaysen McNeil, Elias and Whitmore, and Allie Neuberger. In music, Kalem Iseki, Annie Schlegel, Lauren Scott, Wu and Kin, Carly Hamilton. Butler. Art, Cameron Breeden, Kalem Rogers, Taylan Beekman, Carson Froyland, Tyson Anderson. Music, Ariana Johnson, Callie Baird, Aria Brown, Alex Derke, and Taryn Harms. Cooper. Art, Emily Moore, James Crouch, Carson Morris, Gavin Sankey, Esmeralda Aguilar. Music, Spencer Lara, Karina Barrett, Braylon Townsend, Carson Hager, Kaysen St. John. Fieldhaver, art, Jackson Hoover, Quinn Hennings, Tegan Goodwin, Liam Schilling, Araya Fennell. Music, Julia Grantham, Phoenix Leadham, Montana Peterson, Alindia Bass, Clarissa Reisiders. Duncum, art, Delilah Nicholas, Rose White Lemus, Phoenix Wadsley, Kadrique Grady, Talicia Gilbert. Music, Katariana, Roby, Noah Roddick, Preston Mosley, Austin Carmody, Elijah Bennington. Riverside, art, Alex Fogel, music, Drew Vonsack. Community Christian, art, Aubrey Hantz, music, Isaiah Lawrence. Middle school, vocal band, orchestra, and art. Community Christian, art, Maya Heath, band, Elijah Lawrence, vocal, Emily Chichester. St. Edmund, art, McKenna Cavalli, Annalise Schur, Hong Kim, Jonah Carlson, Peyton Bradley, Cecilia Gavin, Sloan Ryle. Band, Evie Helderfer, Helena Lopez, Logan Reed, Kara McGonigal. Vocal, Lizzie Tiernan, Hong Kim, Briley Singer, Maya Neverman. Fort Dodge Middle School Art, Bo Marsh, Olivia Haynes. Band, Kieran McCready, Melina Meyer. Vocal, Lindy Mayle, Claire Thompson, Mike Wagner. High School Vocal Band Orchestra Art. St. Edmund's Vocal, Jenny Berti, Zach Lawler, Maggie Lemon, Claire Fleming. Band, Madigan Pyman, Maggie Lennon. Art, Aubrey Bemrick, Leah Sank, Isaac Landwehr. Speech, Leah Johnson, Lucas Cornder, Maya McLean, Nila Nordstrom. And it's Senior High, Fort Dodge Senior High Vocal, Logan Eddington, Elena Porter, Riley Reed, Grace Tolliver. Band, Alexis Kinney, Jeff Astor, Bethany Pylon, Anna Markson. Art, Jalen Adams, Isabel Berger, Brooke Green, Jason Shimcat, and in Theater, Antavion Adams, Grace Champagne, Julie Sandy, Isabel Beekman. Whew, a lot of names. Okay, and then about speech contest. Ensemble acting group selected for Allstate. On February 8th, members of the Fort Dodge Senior High speech team attended the Iowa High School Speech Association large group speech. They performed 12 acts that qualified for state through district competition last month. Eight of the acts received Division I, with one of them selected for Allstate, and four groups received Division II. So, I will try and do this quickly with all these names. Division I Group Improv. Team Lab, Caleb Anderson, Jacob Laird. Team CWP, Keona Crooks, Lachey Pettigrew, Ashlyn Wackholtz. Choral Reading. Little Match Girl, Casey Bittleman, Josh Meyer, Alex Dorn, Bo Tracy, Reagan Black, Mindy Vinshattle, Isabel Beekman, Caitlin Ganzeveld, Gracie Miller, and Elena Porter. Ensemble Acting, Iris of a Sparrow, Josh Meyer, Melanie Buttrick, Jerry Evans. And here's the one that gets to go to Allstate. Children of a Lesser God, and Tavion Adams and Grace Champagne. one-act play, Cinderella wore combat boots. That was performed by Isabel Beekman, Anna Markson, Maura Bui, Caitlin Ganzeveld, Akila Wilson, Joey Kelly, and Dennis Morgan. Musical theater, Singing in the Rain, Joey Kelly, Casey Bittleman, Cole Hamlow. A solo mime, Rebirth by Antavion Adams. In Division 2, we have Group M Tom T. Black, Maura Bui, Chase Anderson, Rosie Coppinger, Tyshawna Ludwig. Short film Hints, Chase Anderson, Anna Markson, Aslan Wachholz, Stella Moffat, Keona Crooks. JV Choral Reading Olympics, Grace Casciato, Catherine Delaney, Dominic Berry, Julia Sandy, Brita McCollum, Mikhail Campbell, Brayton Schmider. JV Short Film Rebellion, Julia Sandy. I'm very proud of all our students who performed. They had a great day at State, said Lindy Krug, the speech coach. We are thrilled to have Grayson and Tavion representing senior high at Allstate. It is such an honor for the kids to be chosen, and they will have an experience they will never forget. And that will take place at February 22nd at Iowa State. All right, now sports. Of course, it was a huge wrestling weekend. So that's our number one story in the sports today. History in the making. There's a big picture of Fort Dodge's wrestling team with its third place trophy on Saturday night in Des Moines. The Dodgers have now placed in the top three of the state's biggest class for six consecutive seasons. Golden era of Dodger wrestling defined by toughness and togetherness. Fans love to compare and contrast eras in sports. This is from Eric Pratt. Doing so is human nature and fun to discuss, given a right answer rarely exists. This happens even at local high levels with high school programs. In the last 15 years alone, Fort Dodge softball, football, and baseball and swimming have entered the conversation, along with Gael football, basketball, baseball, track, golf, and cross country. We dust off record books and reminisce about the championships and players of yesteryear, weighing in on how they would fare in today's modern landscape. When it comes to the most recent stretch of wrestling, Dodger wrestling, very little doubt remains. This current run ranks among the best of our community has ever seen, and it could easily be considered number one after Fort Dodge clinched its sixth consecutive team trophy on Saturday night in Des Moines with a third-place finish. In the last 6 years alone, the Dodgers have accumulated 42 individual medals. This is a long article. With 12 golds and 6 silvers, they were traditional state champs in 2018, runner-up in 2016-17, took third in 15, 19, and now 20. Fort Dodge also brought home trophies in state duels in 17-18. 19, and 20. To even crack the conversation with the likes of wrestling factories like Southeast Polk and Waverly Shell Rock in this day and age has basically become an exercise in futility. The state's largest schools with the huge resource advantages, blue bloods like West Des Moines Valley, Waukee, Bettendorf, and the Ankeny's, and Iowa City West have come and gone since 2015. Only the Dodgers have been a consistent threat to the Rams and Gohawks. Drake Ayala, the nation's top-ranked 120-pounder, became the program's eighth back-to-back champion on Saturday night. From 1926 through 2014, only four Dodgers won titles in consecutive seasons. Four have done it since: Sam Cook, Tristan Layer, Brody Teske, and Ayala. Incredible, given Fort Dodge Senior High is steeped in tradition as one of the sport's founding fathers in Iowa nearly 100 years ago. Ayala is the name, but the hammer, the star, but generational talents like Ayala, Cook, Teske, and the Laras, or Drew Bennett can't do it alone. Take the 2020 squad, which in many ways became a vintage Fort Dodge success story. Dodger wrestling is Carson Taylor, who grew up from a kid with a lot of talent and an uncertain future as a freshman into a three-time state medalist, two-time finalist, and 19 champion. Taylor recognized his potential, honed his craft, and became a well-oiled machine and a leader for the program. He did so by putting in the work and committing himself to an off-season of discipline and sacrifice. Now Taylor will graduate ranked among the 15 best ever at FDSH for career victories and win percentage. Dodger wrestling is Levi Egli, who recovered from a devastating knee injury that wiped out his entire junior year to place third at state. Egli dealt with plenty of adversity this season and even this week, bouncing back from a broken bone in his hand to capture a district title and clinch a semifinal appearance at 195. Egli then suffered a crushing loss in a match he controlled until the final four, and he was asked to make the lonely morose turnaround to score team points on the backside of the bracket on Saturday, and he did twice and took third place to help Fort Dodge do the same. Dodger wrestling is Drayson Phillips, who went from outside of a medal room to storming the big stage. Phillips qualified for state a year ago but didn't place. That'll change in a hurry this season as a junior burst onto the scene by clinching a number two ranking and the same seed at 138 pounds as district champ. Only University of Iowa recruit and Ankeny standout Caleb Rathjen kept Phillips from the summit. Still raw and growing, Phillips' career on the mat is just getting started. Dodger wrestling is Cody Cook, who, like Phillips, got a taste of Wells Fargo Arena last February before coming up empty. Cook grinded his way through a challenging 152-pound bracket to place sixth. The unranked junior lost to number six Ethan Vetterick of Norwalk in his opener on Thursday, and then responded by winning three consecutive matches against rated opponents to secure a medal. He fell to number two Cody Anderson and Vetterick again, both by decision, but it was a pleasant surprise overall and has a bright future ahead. Dodger wrestling is Brandon Mills, who had the kind of breakthrough senior campaign most kids only dream about. Mills, who rotated in and out of the varsity lineup a year ago while accumulating a 13-13 record, established his presence early at 145 pounds. He was competitive in all 48 of his appearances, giving up bonus points in only two of his 14 losses, both against out-of-state Division I recruits. And Mills took down second-ranked University of Iowa recruit Kobe Shriver for both a district crown and a semifinal berth at state. By placing sixth, Mills became the poster child for patience and perseverance, a reminder that athletes still, even in this day and age, will wait their turn, avoid excuses, keep working, and get the last laugh on their critics. Dodger wrestling is multi-medalists like brothers Brooks and Lane Cowell, who continue to fight and score points on the backside of brackets in both 19 and 20, despite having their championship dreams dashed. Dodger wrestling is senior Austin Lee, a typical multi-sport Fort Dodge senior high athlete who returned to state this week after 1 year of absence. Dodger wrestling is freshman qualifier Max Bishop and Tucker Peterson, who represent the future. Dodger wrestling is its leader, Bobby Thompson. Do you know how many times Thompson has been named Coach of the Year in the last six seasons? None. Do you know how many times he's deserved it? Six. Thompson is far from perfect, yet he'll fight for the Fort Dodge way of life, cultivating a family atmosphere where old school principles and team first values until he takes his last coaching breath. You may not always agree with the man and his methods, but you should respect his passion for the program. This has been done the hard way, without transfers, without excuses. The kids bought in. The parents logged the miles and made the sacrifices. The coaches instilled a sense of togetherness. Long odds didn't matter. Conventional wisdom was dismissed. The challenges and adversity and reasons to give in to the powers that be only served as motivation. Critics said it couldn't be done, and yet the program is still standing alongside the elite 6 years later. You want to question them at this point or take them on? It better be done with a room full of skill, because sheer will remains this program's hallmark. Dodger wrestling is still to this day Fort Dodge personified, and we've never had it this good. And then, of course, on the sports page, there is pictures of every of many of the athletes that took place in the area. Too many to actually try to read at this point, because we're close to closing. But kudos to the photographer for the messenger for these wonderful, wonderful pictures. There was an article on the other front, another article on the page of the paper about Peyton Rice, a Mansa Northwest Webster graduate, and he coaches. He's now coaching at and he got to the state tournament with his West Bend Mallard program, and so that's very, very nice for that young man. And so he has now at the head coach at West Bend Mallard. So we'll have to watch him as he has his future in sports. His father, Stacy, used to coach as well. And so he's following in his dad's footsteps. The father and son duo actually has 7 medals between the two of them at state. So obviously, again, another wrestling tradition in that family. Just a minute, let me catch this up. Then also we have Joey Logano, of course, winning NASCAR yesterday. And tonight, I believe the Fort Dodge Dodgers boys basketball team will be a road trip to Sioux City at 7 o'clock tonight. So that will be happening. And on TV today, there's lots of college basketball. Of course, Kobe Bryant's memorial service will be happening at noon on ESPN and E Channel, I think. There's some women's college basketball to check out, spring training, soccer, tennis, lots of things going on. Well, let's see what the weather's going to do. So in the next week, tomorrow is a chance of snow with a high of 33, a low of 17. I think we're going to escape a lot of that's coming into southeast Iowa. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high of 25, low of 8. Thursday, mostly sunny, high of 24, low of 6. Fridays, same. Saturday, a little warmer, high of 35, low of 19. Total sun. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, a little chilly, high of 41. So that brings us to the end of today's reading of The Messenger. We thank Friendship Haven for our home today. And we thank you for listening to Iowa's Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. So if you have any questions, you may call 515-243-6833 or visit us on the web at iowareading.org. So hey, have a really, really good day. Wishing you all a dream to bless and a star to guide. Happy Monday. Happy Leap Week. And happy birthday to those of you that are finally going to get to have a birthday. All right.